Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus Kane coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486, 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversation. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. The crux of the show today, folks, is something that, you know, I hadn't really considered until I actually got an email from a fan talking about it a little bit, and initially I dismissed it, but now I'm hearing that professional wrestler Rick Boogs also is bandying about this theory, and I looked into it a little bit, and it may have some merit, and that is professional wrestling attempting to weed out what they quote-unquote call toxic masculinity? Now, I don't think it's any secret that professional wrestling was dripping off the walls with toxic masculinity, the way they define it anyway, in its heyday. But now things are definitely changing, and there's this more woke approach to professional wrestling. And it's interesting that when you go through the rosters, you will find a lack of what I would call testosterone-charged gimmicks or characters, very much on like the 80s, 90s, and even the early 2000s. So we'll be diving into that a little bit. We also wanted to bring up apparently Vince Russo's charge that Tony Khan is actually paying for TV time. We'll talk about that. And, of course, last night's NXT No Mercy event, which saw Dominic Mysterio drop the North American Championship to Trick Williams. So Dominic Mysterio, currently the only member of the Judgment Day now that does not have a title. Mike, this feels as though they wouldn't have done this unless there's going to be some sort of a fallout from the loss of this title causing the Judgment Day to now not have every member carrying a belt.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. And we know what's eventually going to come of this. They eventually break up the group, and we know that, and we know how that's going to go, right? So, somebody has to lose their title first, and I'm not saying I wanted Dom to lose the title, but again, he's on the main roster, and this is a NXT title, right? I mean, I don't think they were planning on making the North American Championship a main roster title. I could be wrong on that, no. But I don't think so. So, you know, it could be that this is the first step in the break in the long story told about the breakup of this group.
Yeah, no, there was no plans to make the North American title part of the main roster, but we all know, much like Becky Lynch, she's not going to keep that title permanently or even long-term. And we knew Dominic wouldn't keep it permanently or long-term. But I did think it would be longer-term than this. I did think they were going to try to make a concentrated effort to keep that belt around him at least until there was a fallout of some kind. There has been no fallout. So now my assumption is that this could begin the fallout. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see. Trick Williams, Dragon Lee, Dominic Mysterio, they put on a great match. It was a very good show last night. Obviously gotten to the point now where I think they feel I think they feel that these champions that they now have, the NXT guys, can carry the ball on their own. I think Becky Lynch is, you know, certainly going to retain it a little bit more, but we'll see. We will see. I know the ratings go up when you have people like Dominic and Becky Lynch and stuff, and they want the ratings to go up. They want NXT to be, you know, in league with AEW as far as ratings are concerned. But this just felt like it wouldn't happen unless there was a greater story to be told. So I'm not sure what that story is going to be. I don't know whether Judgment Day is going to be supportive and say, oh, Dominic lost, but it was a fluke, or they're going to be upset or saying, you know, I shouldn't want to wear that to begin with. I don't know what the story is going to be, Tom, but I do feel there's going to be a story of some kind.
Well, I wasn't really big on Dominic dropping the belt. I thought that he was going to hold on to it a little bit longer, but as Mike said, it is a NXT championship and they have no plans of moving it up to the main roster. So I thought he was going to hold on to it a little longer due to the storyline with the Judgment Day, but it seems like they're going towards the direction of causing dissension in the ranks of factions, really. I mean, you saw this with Imperium. You saw this with – you're seeing it with the Judgment Day and the Bloodline. So I did hear and I did just send you now I'm not entirely sure that this is a part of the story, but that Dominic was not supposed to lose the belt and they forced him to drop the belt due to punishment for going off script on Monday night by kicking a referee. But I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, again, that was off camera. For the benefit of people who don't know what happened, I guess one of the Judgment Day, was it Finn, was supposed to actually hit the referee, and he did. And then Dominic also, when he got up, Dominic hit the referee, and apparently Dominic wasn't scripted to hit the referee, although the referee sold it and everything was fine. You're not going to convince me that's the reason, and I'm going to tell you why. I know a lot of people say, well, remember when Big Cass beat up the midget that was supposed to be Daniel Bryan and he wasn't supposed to do X, Y, and Z, and that's why he got heat? Yes, I do remember that. But that was in the ring, absolutely right there where everybody could see it on camera, and they were already taking a chance because the guy was smaller and it looked like a bullying thing and they had to be very careful. I know they had that situation where they say, well, you automatically have to suspend him. Well, then why don't you suspend Finn Balor? Well, we told Finn Balor to hit him. Well, then you're totally breaking kayfabe. I don't think they would cut off their nose to spite their face by saying, okay, well, Dominic went off script and nobody's seen it. Hardly anybody's seen it. And he took a shot at the referee when he wasn't supposed to. Therefore, he's dropping the North American Championship and we're going to lose out on ratings, and we're going to lose out on matches that we had planned, and other people who were supposed to be opponents of his or whatever, they're going to lose out on matches. I don't buy that they're going to do all of that and affect other people as well as themselves just because Dominic took a shot at a referee that absolutely was maybe not scripted, but obviously it was a kayfabe shot. Obviously it was the referee sold it. It was pretty much off camera. I'm just not buying it. I realized that, you know, it was the closing moments and I guess there's a glimpse of it or something, but it wasn't really even on the main show. So I just don't think that that's the case. I've heard that theory. And yes, Dominic should not do that. He should be talked to. If you have a script, stick to the script. Don't blindside somebody. Now, the referee saw it coming. And I can't tell you how many times in wrestling matches you kind of ad-lib a little something and the guy just, you know, goes with it. Referees are certainly capable of going with it. But if the WWE didn't want it, then you can't do it because it's their right to tell you, no, only this person's doing this. So while Dominic should have been talked to, I just don't think you're going to strip a title away from him and again, cut your nose off to spite your face and say, oh, well, we had planned a really big match here that would have got ratings, and we planned this, but we're going to throw that all out the window just for one little incident. I'm not sure I'm buying that one, Todd.
I'm absolutely right there. Like you said, this, well, like you said, with Dominic Mysterio, it looks like last night when I saw his eye, it looks like he got punched in the eye or something.
Yeah, he was sporting a black eye, yeah. But, Mike, wouldn't they just fine him? I mean, wouldn't that just be the proper thing to do is say, okay, well, you know, you're eating a few thousand dollars because you went off script. I just don't think they're stripping the title of you for that reason.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, look, I tend to believe it's what we talked about earlier about they have bigger and better things for Dominic than just to hold the NXT title. I mean, that's what I believe. Yeah, you're right. They probably would fine him. And look, you know, we'll get into the whole machismo thing later with the tax of toxic masculinity. But think about it. That doesn't fit not with wrestling itself, but with like the Hispanic wrestlers. They're all about machismo, you know. They're all about that, Matt.
Well, they are, but then name one that's doing it now. See, that's exactly what I said. Initially, I rejected this, and I said, well, this is Rick Boogs being a little bit bitter. But what he said was, and we might as well get into it now a little bit. What he said was, I would still have my job, and I would still have my push if Vince McMahon were actually still in control. But there are certain people backstage who don't want my type of person. And then I began to think about it, and I said, well, who have they let go? Who are the people that they've released? Dolph Ziggler, who was supposed to be the show-off and very, you know, he had an effeminate quality to him sometimes, but he also had that, you know, I'm a stud type guy, right? Going for him. Gone. Elias, big muscular guy, kind of a, you know, machismo type guy. Gone. Rick Boogs, gone. And I'm looking at the rosters, and I'm saying, well, now, wait a minute. Maybe it's not that outrageous. Who is currently in the WWE that you would say drips what they consider toxic masculinity? Let's go in alphabetical order because I got it queued up. AJ Styles doesn't. I mean, he's masculine, but he doesn't come off as like the machismo type, right? So he doesn't. Neither one of, you know, Angelo Dawkins doesn't. Austin Theory is well into the effeminate side of things. So he certainly doesn't. Big E's not there right now, or he might. Bobby Lashley certainly does, but now they've changed him, haven't they? And now he's coming out like he's a manager, and he's, you know, he's not dripping that toxic masculinity, so to speak. Things are getting weird here, you know. I'm not 100% sure that this guy's wrong, or that Rick Boogs is wrong. Now, absolutely Braun Strowman does, but he's nowhere to be found. Brock Lesnar, too. But who's the top guys here? You know, we're looking at, does Kevin Owens? No. Does Sami Zayn? No. Does Jey Uso? No. Does Cody Rhodes? No. So who does? Does Rey Mysterio? No. I don't know. Dominic Mysterio? No. Johnny Gargano? No. McIntyre would be the closest. Out of everybody that I can think of offhand that's a top guy, McIntyre would be the closest. Grayson Waller is, you know, he's going into the effeminate thing. You got the Pretty Deadly guys. They're going into the more effeminate thing. Gunther doesn't really come across machismo. He comes across as an athlete, a wrestler. But everybody that has like a macho sort of a gimmick is either gone or greatly undermined, with the possible exception of Drew McIntyre. I can't think of another person on this entire roster. Not on the entire roster, except for Brock Lesnar, and he's not really there. I can't think of another person that would be considered that macho gimmick. And think about it. Everybody was like that before. Triple H, yes. Batista, yes. Shawn Michaels, yes. Stone Cold, yes. The Rock, yes. They were all at the same time. Now, Tom, I can't think of too many.
I can't think of too many either. And the guys that you said are bomb that come close, they're nowhere to be found, obviously. Brock Lesnar is being one, obviously. But the one that's on the roster that's doing, well, something that comes very close is what you said, Drew McIntyre. I can't think of one, with the possible exception, and I use this rather loosely, but Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns to a point, but not like Stone Cold or The Rock. It's a different kind of machismo. Like, he's in control, but he's not, you know what I mean? He's not that way. But Drew McIntyre, he definitely comes close.
I would not even go so far as to say Roman Reigns, because let's check out his gimmick a little bit. He's always got his hair up in a man bun. He's saying, oh, you know, I'm doing everything for my family, and the family's the one who he doesn't win any matches on his own. He always has to rely upon help. You don't have – remember how we used to say you need that guy that just comes out and kicks everybody's ass? We don't have one. They don't even want one. There is no Stone Cold Steve Austin who just, you know, comes out and he's dripping with that, you know, machismo, or The Rock, or Stone, or Triple H, or any of those people, Batista, all of those guys. That's what wrestling was about. Wrestling was literally about these guys who were dripping like this machismo. Scott Hall, Kevin Nash, right? Who do we have now? Even in other federations, who do we have? Does MJF drip masculinity? I don't think so. Adam Cole? Finn Balor? Dominic Mysterio? Sami Zayn? Ricochet? JD McDonagh? The New Day? Minus Big E? None of those people do. They all come across as like woke male type people, right? Think about it. Shinsuke Nakamura, Seth Rollins, he's always coming out in rather effeminate clothing and doing a little dancing, and I'm, you know what I mean? You know, they're not coming across as this, you know, whatever. They're just not. We just don't have that. So, Mike, this may not be a conspiracy theory. I'm looking through the roster, and I'm not finding that those people.
Well, I mean, think about it this way. You know, you got of the guys that are in the brawling brutes, two of the three drip it. Rich Holland drips it. So does Sheamus. He drips it too. You know.
Yeah, but Sheamus is old school, and Rich Holland never wins.
Right, and then I look at AEW now. I mean, look, Rusev. You know, he drips it. But
I'm not saying there's none. But what I'm saying is Rusev a top guy? Is he there Stone Cold? Is he there Rock? Is he there Batista? Is he there Triple H? Is he there Shawn Michaels? No. They're greatly undermining. Look at the guys who are on top. Was CM Punk, you know, dripping with masculinity? No. Is MJF? No. It doesn't seem like they want that guy. It doesn't seem like they want someone who would be quote-unquote unwoke, you know, just an ass kicker, just some guy who says, I'm going to come down there and beat somebody's ass. They don't have it. You got soft-spoken Sami Zayn. You got soft-spoken Seth Rollins. You got Roman Reigns, who's, I'm a tribal chief, but I'm, you know, I can't win a match on my own. You got MJF, who's more of a Miz-type guy. You got Adam Cole, who's so small, it's almost midget wrestling at this point. Moxley might be a little bit close, but even guys like Adam Page, you know, does he really come across as a cowboy to you? Maybe from the movie Midnight Cowboy. That's about as close as he comes. The Young Bucks. Think about it. The guys of the WWE recently let go, Shelton Benjamin certainly had that, right? Gone. Dolph Ziggler had that Shawn Michaels machismo. Gone. Elias, big dude, more of a macho guy. Gone. They hired back Braun Strowman, but he was gone before that. It seems like they're getting rid of him. And there was a rumor that they weren't even going to re-sign Drew McIntyre, and as far as I know, they haven't. So if you take away all of them, Mike, from that roster, who do we got? We got Sheamus, who's ready to retire, but he's been there how many years? So his gimmick hasn't really changed all that much, but he's not a top guy. It's not like he's going for a title. The guys that you have front and center, let's talk about them. Obviously, Cody Rhodes. No, he doesn't drip that. Seth Rollins. No, he doesn't drip that. Sami Zayn. No. Roman Reigns. No. Solo a little bit, but not enough to really be whatever. AJ Styles. No. Rey Mysterio. No. Santos Escobar. No. And they're supposed to be the macho guys, right? Here's your macho LWO. You got Rey Mysterio, you got Santos, who's you know, looking more and more and more like a, you know, what do they call them? Beta male, soy boy, and the two other LWO guys who are definitely soy boys. Where is it? Where is the macho in wrestling? Where is it? Do we have a macho man, Randy Savage? Show him to me. Where's that guy? Where's that Hulk Hogan who comes out and rah, and your muscle and everything? Where is that guy? You don't have one. And the ones that you do have that have that kind of physique or that kind of potential, they try to water down. Look what they did with Bobby Lashley. Bobby Lashley could be that guy. Bobby Lashley could come out and tear his shirt off and be like, whatever. Instead, now he's listening. I'm a manager, and I'm wearing these, you know, a pink outfit, and I'm talking very articulately about it, that you need killer instinct. You know, you could say the Viking Raiders are led by a woman. How macho are you if you're led by a woman, right? The bottom line is, because Randy Savage, I know people say, what about him? He wasn't led by Elizabeth. She was in his corner for moral support. It's clear that the Viking Raiders are led by Valhalla. So where are they? Where's the macho teams? Where's the macho, you know, performers? You don't have them. And you're not going to tell me that's not by design. Not when I've just rattled off a list of five people, Mike, that they let go, all five of which basically had that gimmick.
And think about this. When all four of the Wyatt family were together, they had it.
Yep.
Bray Wyatt, Luke Harper, the guy, Eric Redbeard, and, of course, Braun Strowman. They all had it, right? So, yeah. You know, I mean, think about it. I mean, why do you think people go nuts every time they see The Rock and John Cena?
Exactly my point. Think about Roman Reigns before he became the tribal chief. That's what Roman Reigns was. He was the macho guy, right? He was this big, pretty muscular guy who he's going to come out there and he's the powerhouse and he's going to be hard to stop. All of a sudden, he's not a powerhouse. He's a manipulative coward who hides behind his family and wears his hair in a bun. This is being intentionally done, I think, Tom. I really do.
Yeah, and the more that we talk about it, is definitely it seems to be going that way. And Mike brought up a very interesting point. I mean, this is why the fans go nuts when, you know, the John Cena hasn't been seen for months and he comes out and the fans lost their minds. The fans lost their minds when the Rock's music hit. They want those type, you know, those type characters back. And we're not getting that. Where it seems like
now let's go a little farther down the rabbit hole. Are they doing it to the women? Oh, who's one of the top women? Charlotte Flair, the queen, the alpha female, they called her this week. The alpha female, they called her. What's Becky Lynch's gimmick? I'm the man. I'm a ass kicker. Do you hear any guy saying I'm an ass kicker? No. They're giving those masculine roles to the women and demasculating the men. Do you see any guys knocking Rhea Ripley on her ass? No. Do you see Rhea Ripley knocking a whole bunch of guys on their ass? Yes. Do you see Akira Tozawa backstage running away every time he sees Rhea Ripley? Guys who shouldn't be backing down from Rhea Ripley backing down. Hell, you've literally got the OC backing down from the Bloodline. We really shouldn't involve ourselves in Bloodline business, AJ. They're too tough for us. That's the OC, for God's sake. So when you're taking those two guys who absolutely had that masculine whatever about them that we're just going to kick people's asses, and you make them sniveling little alpha beta males, you're not going to tell me, Mike, you're not doing that on purpose. Why in the world would you take a team like Anderson and Gallows, who's famous for being just ass-kicked, and make it look like, well, we're afraid of them. We should just leave them alone. It seems like they're purposely doing it.
I mean, look, what was the NWO? You know,
mm-hmm.
Hogan, Nash, and Hall,
yep.
And even some of the lesser guys in the NWO, like Scott Norton and people like that, they dripped with it. That entire group dripped with it, you know, at the time. And what is Bianca Belair's thing? I'm the biggest, the fastest, the strongest.
Yeah.
The EST,
exactly.
Right?
Yes. That's my point. My point is there is nobody in the men's division, hardly anyway, and they're giving it to all the women. Charlotte Flair's gimmick, very macho. Becky Lynch's gimmick, very macho. Bianca Belair's gimmick, very macho. Raquel Rodriguez's gimmick, very macho. Nia Jax's gimmick, very macho. Shayna Baszler's gimmick, very macho. When Ronda Rousey was there, gimmick, very macho. Now name the guys. Seth Rollins comes out in a pink outfit dancing. Sami Zayn comes out and he's everybody's best friend and I'm just trying to not hurt anybody's feelings. The OC is backstage cowering because the Bloodline might hurt us. At some point, you got to take a look at this and say, maybe Rick Boogs is right. They don't want guys being portrayed as macho. They want the women being portrayed as macho. They want the women to be the alpha athletes. Randy Orton, when he comes back, could be one. But why do you think they cheer so loudly when a guy, like you said, like John Cena comes out? Why do you think L.A. Knight's starting to drip a little of that machismo, right? He's starting to come out and say, you know, I'm out here to kick somebody's ass, and look what's happening. When you go to see an action movie, do you want Jean-Claude Van Damme? Do you want Jason Statham to be little woke whatever that says, well, you know, I don't want to interfere in other people's business. I don't think it's a good idea that we go try to help these people. I mean, we could get hurt. Or do you want them to just kick people's ass? Is that why you go see the movie? Wrestling has gotten to the point now, and I'm glad I got woke up from this. I really didn't see this. Until, like I said, I had a guy write me, and then he sent me the Rick Boogs thing, and I said, wait a minute, that's ridiculous. Everybody in wrestling is a big, you know, big, strong guy. That's dumb. And then I started looking, and I said, wait a minute, he's right. All of these guys' gimmicks are like beta male. Every single one of these guys are beta males. And if they're too big to be a beta male, they're trying to make them a beta male. And I'm saying to myself, yeah, they're not doing that in the women's division. Everybody's an alpha female over there, right? Oh, Becky Lynch, I'm the man. I'm the last kicker. Charlotte Flair, I'm the queen. Bianca Belair, I'm the EST. Raquel Rodriguez, I'm the strongest person in the Federation. Rhea Ripley, I can take on the men and win. Raquel Rodriguez and all these other ones. And Shayna Baszler, I'm a legit badass. Where we got Brock Lesnar, who's not even there 90% of the time. And a little bit of Drew McIntyre. Why do you think the fans went nuts when Drew McIntyre fought Sheamus? That's not a really big match. If you think about it logically, that's not a huge match. Drew McIntyre versus Sheamus. Okay, sounds like a good match. Because they knew it was two alpha males going at it. I mean, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are like a married couple. I don't think we should do this. Well, I do think we should do it. Well, I don't know. I don't trust this person. Well, I wish you would trust this person, honey. Well, I don't trust it. They're like a married couple. Why are you doing this to the men's division? It was also pointed out by Rick Boots, and I think it's worth mentioning, that they never really put anything into his character. This is a guy who's a legitimate NCAA wrestler and a power lifter. And you gave him a gimmick of a musician, which he is. Okay, well, that's a good gimmick. Why does he come out in a singlet like he's an Olympic wrestler? Why didn't he come out dressed like a rock and roller then? So it looks like, yeah, when he's playing, why'd you make him cut his hair? Let him keep his hair long. Let him wail on the guitar. Let him be like, oh, I don't know. Remember when Man Mountain Rock was around and he looked like a guitar player from a heavy metal band? Well, how about you make Rick Boogs look like a guitar player from a heavy metal band? No, you didn't want to do that. It's weird. It is weird. Dominic Mysterio, who's leading him around by the nose? Rhea Ripley. Oh, when big, bad Damian Priest and Finn Balor are right in each other's face, screaming at each other, ready to come to blows, who tells them, knock it off, and they all cower. Oh, Rhea Ripley. See how this is going? I didn't see it until I really started to look into it, and then I'm saying these guys are right. In the old days, if you had somebody like Finn Balor and Damian Priest arguing and Rhea Ripley would stick her nose in, they would have told her, keep your nose out of it. Now it's, oh, yes, ma'am, you're so much tougher than us. Yes, okay, please don't be mad at me. That's what you want from your professional wrestlers, Todd? This is definitely a problem, and I, like I said, I didn't see it till recently, but now it's very obvious.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about these people not being macho and everything, we don't have that. The last person who was sort of macho, like you said, was Randy Orton, sort of. Now we don't have that.
No, you know, listen, Derek's making a point saying, well, they're afraid somebody might, you know, if they have steroid abuse or anything. They don't have to be muscular, though. They don't have to be. When I say macho, I don't mean go back to the days of steroids where everybody looked like a cartoon character. I mean your attitude. That's all that needed to be, is your attitude. They don't have a macho attitude. Nobody has a macho attitude. I don't care if it's Finn Balor and with his size. At least come off as a macho attitude. You don't need to be a big, huge 300-pound steroid freak or a testosterone junkie. You don't need that. But you do need to have a couple of guys there who have a masculine attitude. I doubt very greatly that Stone Cold Steve Austin was on a massive amount of steroids. He wasn't exactly what I would call super muscular or particularly large. But what did he have? He had that macho attitude. See, they're robbing that attitude. They're robbing that attitude. And they're giving it to the women. Think about the women. Like I said, who controls the Judgment Day? Rhea Ripley. Who controls Dominic? Rhea Ripley. Who controls the Viking Raiders? Valhalla. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, they're, you know, very beta male type guys. It's all about our emotions. We're so, you know, our emotions. I don't know what to do because Jay's my friend and my other friend don't like him. That used to be what the females was like, right? Why doesn't my best friend like my other best friend? That used to be the female stuff. Now the female stuff is, I'm going to tear her head off. No, I'm going to tear your head off. Nobody's ready for me. Nobody can beat Rhea Ripley. Nobody's stronger than Raquel Rodriguez. Nobody's more badass than Shayna Baszler. I'm the baddest human on the planet, Nia Jax. Everybody's macho, 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 but it's the women. Think about it. I've just went through the women's division and told you every single one of them. Who's the feminine one? Who's the one that screams femininity over there? The closest you're going to get is Chelsea Green. And she never wins. She's a laughingstock. Who's the top people? Bianca Belair screams alpha female. Charlotte Flair screams alpha female. Nia Jax, Rhea Ripley, Raquel Rodriguez, Shayna Baszler, Piper Niven, Natty, all of them, every single one of them have an alpha female attitude. Now show me the males that do. Maybe Drew McIntyre and LA Knight. That's it. That's it. The rest of them are soft, right? It's all about our emotions. Boo-hoo, my friend don't like my other friend. It started to worry me a little bit because it snuck up on me. They did it so carefully and over such a long period of time. That it snuck up on me. Now, Liv Morgan's not feminine. Derek's saying, Liv Morgan, what's feminine about her? She comes out because she's pretty? Pretty don't have anything to do with it. She comes out acting like she's nuts and she's going to be a psycho, whatever, that's going to, you know, tear apart. Even Alexa Bliss came out as that. Well, I may be small and pretty, but I have a psychotic personality and I can drop things on your head, staring at them and stuff. Everybody's like super alpha female. Chelsea Green's the only one I could think of that isn't. It was Carmella for a while. She's not there. Aside from that, that's it. The women's division's filled with alpha females. The men's division are filled with beta males. Think about it. And the same holds true of AEW. Who's the top guys? I know you got Brian Cage over there and some other guys that are macho. But who's the top guys? Samoa Joe, okay, is somewhat like that. Maybe Moxley. Jericho slipping back into the more, you know, Seth Rollins style of beta male. MJF, Adam Cole, all those people, the Young Bucks, Hangman Page, they're all like that. Kenny Omega. They've kind of flipped the script. They've made the women macho and the men effeminate. And they're force-feeding it on us. And I've always said, you know, I did a thesis paper in college about professional wrestling. And I was told by my professor, if you do a thesis paper on professional wrestling, seriously do one, you're probably going to get an F. because there is nothing remotely interesting that you could write that's feasible psychologically. And I got an A+. Because I said it mirrors society. If you go back to the old days of professional wrestling, if you so much as grabbed the rope to get out of a hold, the fans would boo you. Oh, he's taking advantage of the rule because he's a sissy. Back then, you had to be squeaky clean to be the face. You had to be Bob Backlund, Bruno Sammartino, who would not cheat. If the world came crashing down upon them, they would not take a shortcut. You had to be the utmost in the pillar of morality for the fans to cheer for you. Then society changed. And all of a sudden, the gray area became who the hero was. And you got people like Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker and Stone Cold Steve Austin, who really weren't nice people, but they were the good guys because they were a little dark. They were a little violent. They weren't squeaky clean. Now society is mirroring it to, we're only going to root for the beta male, the guys who are sensitive and have their feelings hurt on a regular basis. We don't want the macho guys who come down and clean house. At least that's the way it seems. We're looking at an era of, and I'm not saying they're not great. I love Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins, I have said for ages, has carried the WWE on his shoulders for I don't know how long. A long time. MJF is fantastic. The best thing they got over in AEW by far. And I love a lot of the other guys that I'm going to talk about now, but they're not alpha males. They're not being portrayed as alpha males, even if they are. And they're purposely being put in a position where they're saying, in order for you to be cheered, we need you to be sensitive and caring and kind. And all of this, fans don't want it. Some fans don't want it. AEW fans might want it. But WWE fans are longing for the day when the glass breaks and Stone Cold Steve Austin comes down drinking a beer and just takes everybody out. We don't have it. And it's by design we don't have it. It's not like we don't have the athletes that could do it. They don't want it. Wrestling has convinced themselves, in order to survive in this era, we have to reach the fans who are the woke fans who are, and be sensitive to their needs and their wants and not try to have an atmosphere of toxic masculinity. Well, but wrestling is toxic masculinity. That's what wrestling is all about. My God, one of your biggest heroes was the Macho Man Randy Savage. Why in the hell do you think he called himself the Macho Man? You see, that's why it worked. Randy Savage was, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. I'm the greatest. Ooh, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm a macho, whatever. And then when you had that moment when him and Elizabeth finally did embrace in the ring, hey, you had grown people crying. Because you got to see that little bit of sensitive side of Randy Savage for the first time. Oh, we see it every week. We see it every week with somebody out there crying, about something. Never the women, though. The women are always out there saying, I'll kick her ass. How dare she step up to me? I'll kick your ass. You see men do that? No, you don't. Judgment Day is supposed to be so macho, but they all cower when Rhea Ripley talks, and they need three or four of them to jump one guy. Now, that's been going around forever in wrestling. That's the heel thing, but still, that's not an alpha male thing. See, that's why Brock Lesnar is popular. He comes out, and he is like the alpha male, and you say, okay, well, win, lose, or draw, somebody's getting thrown around. And then you wonder why he says, I'm just going to come on rare occasions. He don't want to be a part of this. He's always going to be that alpha male type. They've turned other people. What did they turn Matt Riddle into? Matt Riddle was a legitimate MMA fighter. They turned him into a goofball. Because you can't have that. Chad Gable is an Olympic wrestler. What'd they turn him into? Shush, please. Because you can't have him be macho at all. Even Otis can't be macho, right? He's just got to be like, oh, well, I'm very sensitive. It's terrible. I can't think of a guy, not one single one right now. And even try to play down McIntyre and Sheamus to an extent, if you've noticed. They even try to play them down. I can't think of one, Mike. It's even in AEW, it seems as though the culture now is trying to mirror society and say we have to present the males as the sensitive ones and the females as the badasses.
Right. I look at it like this. If you look at a lot of these guys that are, you know, let's go through the rest of the federation. I mean, Rusev, yeah, but we know where this is going with Rusev, right? Okay. But think about it. What did you see when you see Tyrus?
Yeah.
Right? What do you see when you see Tim, what's his name, the cowboy Tim, used to be in America's Most Wanted, the tag team. Cowboy,
yeah,
whatever his name.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you see when we see that guy? Even
Trevor
Murdoch. 10, 15, let's go back 10, 15 years. Even though he was small, what do you see with Eddie Guerrero, with Chavo Guerrero?
Right. Yep. Absolutely. Now look at the difference. You know, they're comparing China and Eddie Guerrero to Rhea Ripley and Dominic. Uh-uh. Eddie Guerrero was, yes, he was, you know, that was his mamacita or whatever, but you always knew that Eddie Guerrero, despite the fact he wasn't even as big as China, you always knew he sort of wore the pants. You know, he came across as, oh, you know, I'm doing what she wants because I want to, not because she makes me. Dominic comes across as a sub, right? He comes across as Rhea Ripley's a dominatrix and he's the sub. She barks and he says, yes, ma'am. Oh, okay, yes, ma'am. Everybody's subservient to the women. Nobody's as tough as the women. Nobody's as macho as the women. That's what's happening in professional wrestling now because it's mirroring society and that's what they want you to think. All the superhero movies now are Captain America can't get it done, the Hulk can't get it done, Iron Man can't get it done, but Captain Marvel can, and the Black Widow can, because they're women. See, this is the problem. They're trying to go so far in the other direction that they're actually becoming a satire. When it gets to the point, I don't care how big people think Rhea Ripley is. I have newsflash for you. Rhea Ripley's not that big. I don't know what her exact height and weight is, but I would be surprised if she's more than 5'10 and 150 pounds. So please tell me why a 6'4", 280-pound guy is afraid of her. Because the roles have to be reversed. That's the society we live in now. Men are now demasculated, and the women are now in charge. Here's why that's not working. There's a handful of women. I know I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but I'm going to say it anyway. There's a handful of women in every federation, just a handful, who are really worthy of saying we're main eventers. That's it. I'm sorry. Becky Lynch says, well, you got to give the women more time and you have to give them more TV time and you have to build them up. She's right that you do have to build up people, but they have to be worthy of being built up. You built up Liv Morgan. She couldn't handle it. So now what is she? Hurt constantly or gone? Raquel Rodriguez is not going to be the next big thing. She has no mic skills and zero charisma. It's not going to happen. Piper Niven is not going to be anything big because it's just not going to happen. It's just like the men. There are men who you say they're good athletes, but it's not going to happen. They just don't have that intangible whatever. Well, there's a handful of women who do. Certainly Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Charlotte Flair, Asuka, Rhea Ripley. And then it starts to get thinner. Starts to get a lot thinner. That's five. That's not a lot. I mean, Natty can handle herself, but she's not going to be a big thing. She doesn't have that charisma. I'm sorry. I don't see anybody else. Alexa Bliss has the charisma if she wants to come back and give it a go. But until then, she's not there. So who do you build up? You built up Raquel Rodriguez. It didn't work. You built up Liv Morgan. It didn't work. You built up Shayna Baszler. It did not work. Maybe Zoe Stark, and that's another one. Zoe Stark comes off, right, as I'm big, bad, and tough. Who's big, bad, and tough in the men's division? I'm big, bad, and tough. I guess Drew McIntyre. That's about it until Braun Strowman comes back or Brock Lesnar shows up. So, Tom, I do think this is intentional because it can't be coincidental.
No, it's, you know, thinking about it more and more, and as we further discuss it, it seems like this has been going on for quite a while, and it doesn't, we just didn't catch it until Rick, you know, the interview of Rick Boogs being passed around, you know, came out. You have to really, you know, deep dive into, as we did, this has been going on since the merger, or maybe even before.
You know, Mike, they even tried it with Bray Wyatt, because now that I think about it, when he made his return, what did he say? I'm so happy that you guys all saved my life, and I'm so happy to be here and just talk to you as myself and tell you how much I appreciate you. They were doing that before the calm before the storm, but they were trying to show that sensitive side of Bray Wyatt, too. It's amazing how they've literally emasculated almost every single one of their workers.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Think about this. Also, think about this. Also, why do you think, yeah, I know it was a comical gimmick, right? But why do you think Macho Mandel went over? All right? Why do you think when Jay Lethal did his black machismo thing, his version of Macho Man Randy Savage, that went over? You know? Think about it.
And all of the heels that are men are smarmy little man boys who think they're tough. Oh, Austin Theory, I'm a smarmy little man boy who thinks I'm tough. Pretty Deadly, we're smarmy little man boys who think we're tough. The Miz, we're smarmy little man boys who think we're tough. They're all that way. They're all that way. It's unbelievable. Rick Boogs really woke me up to this because I was absolutely not catching that vibe until he mentioned it. Nobody's coming out there with like a testosterone-fueled fury and saying, bring it, except Brock Lesnar. They're not even letting Drew McIntyre do it now, Todd. Think about it. Drew McIntyre now comes out and, yeah, he's a big guy, a muscular guy and everything, but what does he do? He's sort of like, oh, you know, I'm a nice guy. I'm a sensitive guy. I can take a good joke. He doesn't seem like that. I'm going to tear your head off type guy anymore that he was when he first got here.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, this is not like they used to be. Like Ric Flair, he was like a feminine guy, too, when he was wearing the suits, got all the hair slicked back and everything, having the women down in the ring with him.
Yeah, but see, and he was the bad guy, right? So what they were saying is, here's Ric Flair. He thinks he's a playboy. He thinks he's this big, bad, whatever, but he's like a little, he's a little bit soft. And as soon as somebody gets a hold of him that isn't, as soon as he has to battle some of these macho guys, he's going to get his ass kicked. That was the gimmick back then. The gimmick was, we'll get a guy like, oh, I don't know, Ricky Starr, right, who was a ballet dancer, and he ballet danced all over the ring. We'll get a guy like Gorgeous George. We'll get a guy like that, and then, oh, but wait till the macho guys get in here and really give it to him, right? Now it's the opposite. Now it's, oh, wait till Sami Zayn, who's so sensitive that he's, you know, tears up every time he thinks of two people not liking each other. Wait till he gives it to Brock Lesnar. Well, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? We've got wrestling ass backwards now. It's fine if you want some of the women to be alpha females. That's what Ronda Rousey should be. That's what Charlotte Flair should be. That's what Becky Lynch should be, even, and Bianca Belair. But you got to have some alpha males, too. And we don't. We just don't. Because if we did, we wouldn't be having everybody back down to Rhea Ripley. Now, I don't mean they have to hit her. You don't have to make them a woman abuser. But what I'm saying is, if you want to make Damian Priest this big, bad, tough, macho guy, then when Rhea Ripley gets in his face and says, you need to shut up, he's saying, you need to stay out of it. This is between me and him. I don't have a problem with you. And I'm sure you don't want one with me. But that would be macho. You got to be woke. And as mad as you are at Finn Balor, ready to kill him, when Rhea Ripley says stop, you say, oh, I'm sorry, ma'am. I'm sorry. Please don't be mad at me. That's macho, Mike? That's exactly the opposite.
Right. And think about this. You mentioned two guys that got fired that could have had that dripping off of them. But there's a third guy. There's Riddick Moss. Riddick Moss,
yes,
wasn't a small guy, right?
Nope.
Yeah, they gave him a comedy gimmick, but and he got it over. But if they played him right, he could have gotten over with it. You know, he could have gotten over with that type of gimmick. And why do you think every time Sting sticks his face out, there's an explosion?
Yeah, see, this is the thing. They're not reading the audience correctly, or they would say the audience is dying for a more macho individual. Why do you think they're not using Karrion Kross, Tom? Karrion Kross comes out, and okay, he's with Scarlett, but you kind of know, like, he's the big bad whatever. She might cheat for him, and she may whatever, but she's not wearing the pants. So he's sort of macho, and what does he do? He loses every week.
Yeah, I didn't even think about Karrion Kross, and that's, you know, again, it's a sad thing that wrestling, professional wrestling has always been about the macho guy and their enemy or their opponent, and the reason for them fighting. Now it's just like, you know, can't we all just get along, Rodney King thing? And the women are the ones who are empowered. I can't think of a woman on the roster who they don't have that gimmick for, as far as being like the empowered woman. I could beat everybody.
Other than Chelsea Green, that's the only one I can think of that even screams effeminate or femininity in any way, shape, or form. Now, look at the Hurt Business, for instance. When MVP had the Hurt Business together, they were very macho. You had, obviously, Bobby Lashley, who's huge. Then you had Shelton Benjamin, who's no slouch. Cedric Alexander is no slouch. And remember that moment when Retribution was running wild in the arena and MVP came out with his boys and they started taking off their jacket and they just took care of business. The crowd went nuts. Why do you think the crowd went nuts? Because the bad guys were a bunch of effeminate little woke crybabies like Antifa mobs who was hunting in packs because they were too sissy to do it by themselves and hadn't met any real opposition yet. And here comes some real men who said, yeah, I'll be damned if you're going to do this. We'll just kick your ass. And they threw them all around the arena and the crowd went nuts. Now what are they doing with Bobby Lashley? He's coming out wearing little pink and white suits and wearing glasses and saying, well, boys, you have to have a killer instinct now. You have to show me that you... He's talking like he's a college professor. You can see, Mike, the difference between what they had as the Hurt Business, which was a macho thing, and this new revamped Bobby Lashley group, which is anything but.
Absolutely. And think about something else. A couple of other things. Originally, what was his gimmick? What was Baron Corbin's gimmick? Lone Wolf.
Yeah, Lone Wolf.
By himself, all that stuff. All right.
Great
back
point.
In NXT.
Yes.
Back in NXT, Legado del Fantasma, what was their gimmick?
Yep.
And they were
absolutely.
Macho.
Yes, indeed. Those are two great examples. Baron Corbin comes in as a, I don't know what he's supposed to be, I guess a sort of like a biker, a lone wolf, kicking everybody's ass, a legit Golden Gloves boxer, and you turned him into a wimp, right? I'm wearing a flowered shirt, and I'm down on my luck. Can anybody please help me? I can't seem to win. You took all of his machismo away. El Legado de Fantasmo. Okay, they were heels. Okay, they cheated. Okay, they gang-jumped people. But at the end of the day, they had a machismo. Now it's Santos Escobar saying, my hero is Rey Mysterio, and it is so terrible what his son has done to him, and we will dedicate our life to helping Rey. What the hell? Can anybody be macho in wrestling, or that's against the law now? It's against the law to have any testosterone in your system. You all have to be soy boys or forget it. Doesn't matter what your physique is. It matters what your attitude is. Even the biggest, most muscular, powerlifting guy has to be a soy boy unless your name is Brock Lesnar, who probably just said, I ain't doing it. Right? So then when The Rock comes out and just says, to hell with everybody, right? Shut the hell up. You're a little punk. You're this, that, and the other thing. People, they lose their mind. They lose their mind because that's the machismo they wanted. They lose their mind when John Cena storms down to that ring and says, I'll do this by myself if I have to. And here comes the bloodline. Okay, well, then I guess it's 2-on-1, but here we go. They lose their mind. Why are they losing their mind? Because they want that machismo back in wrestling, and it's not there. Now, not everybody wants that machismo back in wrestling. And I'm sorry to tell you, and it's no offense to AEW fans, but a tremendous amount of AEW fans do not want that machismo back in wrestling. Their heroes are the Young Bucks and the woke guys because they most represent them. That's how society has changed. Males have become much less masculine than they were, and they're calling it being woke. Well, I don't have to follow the standards, guidelines of what a male really is. I can cry and be sensitive. Well, guess what? The world didn't change. All men can cry and be sensitive. But you don't have to wear your heart out on your sleeve, and you don't have to go crazy with it. And you don't have to say, I have to dress in a manner that's less masculine, and I have to wear my hair in a manner that's less masculine, and I have to be less abrasive and less... No, you have to embrace who you are. You're a male. But this is not what we're doing now. Pro wrestling, more than anything on the planet, why do you think it's drawing a woke audience now? There was no woke pro wrestling. Jesus Christ, was ECW woke? Do you realize the things they were doing in ECW? And there wasn't no... sons of bitches over there that was mostly on steroids. A Sandman, are you kidding me? New Jack, are you kidding me? Those guys weren't on steroids. They're on drugs, all right, but it wasn't steroids. But their attitude was very macho. Oh, well, we're the gangsters. We're just going to come kick your ass. I'm Tommy Dreamer, man. I'm the hardcore legend. I'm going to kick your ass. I'm Raven, okay? This is an alternative whatever. I'm just going to come kick your ass. And the wimpy guys like Stevie Richards and the Meanie, they were the guys who were the hangers-on. They were the lackey. Nowadays, the macho guys would have been the lackeys. And the Stevie Richards guys would have been, they're the main guys. That's how quick the wrestling business changed right in front of our eyes, and we did not notice it. Think about the women they let go. All the women they let go had a very feminine image. Aaliyah, very feminine, right? Gone. They're shooting to reverse the roles. I don't think there's any doubt about it. And until Rick Boogs really made that statement, he said he's going to make more statements. Because he said this was the main difference between Vince McMahon and the powers that be, is Vince McMahon wanted to keep it more of a macho thing, and the powers that be wanted not to do it. They wanted to get rid of the macho people, and they wanted to influx it with the less macho athletes. And he said, that's what cost me my job. And he's going to have more to say about this, which I'm fascinated by. But, Tom, I honestly think he's right.
Yeah, and you brought up a good point with the ECW guys. This is, there's a lot of fans out there who want the Attitude Era to come back, and they're not going to, they're not going to do it because the way they have it now is the way they're catching the woke fans, and their WWE and AEW, for that matter, thinks that the wokeness sells, and the wokeness is what's getting through to the fans, but they're not really fans. It's flavor of the week to them.
Let's just go back a little ways. Does anybody think to Derek's point? Yeah, there was a steroid era, which was not good. Everybody was juiced up on steroids, but did anybody think that Terry Funk was on steroids? He was very macho, right? He just come out there and, God, you knew he was going to go crazy on you. You knew he was going to fight the hell out of you, fight to the bitter end, right? Very macho. Jerry Lawler, anybody think he was on steroids? But he was that guy who just come out and fight you. He's going to fight you to the bitter end, right? Harley Race. If you want to go back that far, look at all those people. Now who you got? There aren't macho people like that. There just aren't. They've subtly replaced them with a much more feminine attitude male roster. Much more. And it's a shame. We don't have, the Dudleys anymore, right? The Dudleys were pretty macho. The Road Warriors were pretty macho. Demolition, pretty macho. Now we have Pretty Deadly. come on, folks. You can't see this? It's there in every bit of it. The same way over in AEW. It's the same way. The macho guys are taking the back seat to the woke, new, more effeminate male roster. Why do you think the fans are saying, we don't want to see Jon Moxley do death matches and stuff? No, because it's macho and you don't like that. You want to see the Young Bucks flip around the ring and look like little girls. Same way with Adam Cole, right? We love Adam Cole, but we don't like Brian Cage. Well, because you can't be Brian Cage. It used to be that people went to wrestling because they said, I could never aspire to be like this. Now they won't go unless they say, I'm just like that. It's weird. It's very weird. But again, all the macho people seem to be on the women's side. You can identify more. If you're a macho person, you're identifying more with with Charlotte Flair, Becky Lynch, Bianca Belair, Asuka, and Rhea Ripley than you are Sami Zayn and, you know, Finn Balor and Dominic Mysterio. I'm sorry. Come on. And little by little, they're eliminating him. They're not kind of, Braun Strowman comes back. I don't even think they're going to have anything for him. People that they're eliminating seem to be the people who could carry that. We may be getting rid of Drew McIntyre. Then what? Sheamus is ready to retire. Then what? Randy Orton's ready to retire. Then what? Who's that guy? Brock Lesnar's not going to be around much longer if he's going to be around at all anymore. So now who do you have leading the charge? You're grooming Jey Uso to lead the charge, and you've got Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. They're not exactly the most macho people. See, it's not toxic. It's just plain masculinity. They're trying to strip the masculinity away. And somehow they think that mirrors society. Wrestling always tries to mirror society. That's why I got the A-plus on my thesis paper. Because I proved to my professor that that is true. Wrestling mirrors the society it's around. When a society is violent and whatever, it's violent. When a society is moralistic, your heroes are moralistic. When society is in chaos, then you want the chaos solver. Stone Cold Steve Austin was the right person for that particular time. Try to bring The Undertaker up now. People would laugh at the gimmick and they'd never accept it, and you would never, ever, ever have the legend of The Undertaker. We should have known this was coming when Mick Foley did away with his gimmick of Cactus Jack just on rare occasions and went instead for Dude Love. It was starting to come then. And little by little by little, do you honestly think The Rock could come out and sing the song that he sang to Vicky Guerrero without being called misogynistic and rude and vulgar and mansplaining? You think he could have said, you know, to the female announcer about eating pie and everything? Oh, no, you couldn't say that. You couldn't have The Rock today. Not the way he was. Couldn't have Stone Cold Steve Austin the way he was. Why is that? The wrestling business is the same business it always was. It's just society that's different. And you're not allowed to have that anymore. Because that's toxic masculinity, according to them. Well, I'm sorry, Mike, but this business thrives on toxic masculinity. And if you drain every drop of it out, you're going to lose its core base.
Yeah, and think about something else. Big Show. They got rid of him too, right? And he dripped it, right? Yeah, he was a little bit older, but he dripped it. He still got reactions. I mean, I remember those matches he had against Braun Strowman, right? So, yeah.
Yes.
And think about something else. Let's go back to just before the WWE, the Attitude Era. Who'd you have? Hogan, Savage, and one time Flair. Ultimate Warrior, Demolition, the Hart Foundation, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Hacksaw Butch Reed, the Big Boss Man, the One Man Gang, and that's just two hands full of guys that had a dripping off of them, you know?
Absolutely. Mike, you've hit the nail on the head, but now think about it, too. Just before we had this, we should have seen it coming. Remember when they had the gimmick where Triple H and crew were basically downgrading Daniel Bryan, who was a very, you know, soy boy, right? Soy boy, total soy boy. Great athlete, but total soy boy. Then the Big Show gets in the ring and gets castigated by Stephanie McMahon and says, crying, a giant. Then you had Kevin Owens, who was at the mercy of Shane McMahon, and, oh, I guess I'll do what I have to do for my family. We don't have those tough guys anymore. Go back and see when Stone Cold Steve Austin stunned Stephanie McMahon. He tried not to. She badmouthed him a little bit, and he was like, I don't want to do it, but, you know, I'll just leave. And then she says something else, and he's like, okay, well, you know, I'm just going to leave. And then she goes too far, and he's like, okay, well, you're stunned. Right? Well, where is this now? Where are these people? They're not allowed to exist because we live in a different culture now where these people would be considered not politically correct and not socially acceptable. But wrestling isn't supposed to be politically correct, nor is it supposed to be socially acceptable. And that's where we're running into trouble. Because when you're trying to do these gimmicks, and you're trying to be a writer, and you have to write around a woke culture that will not allow X, Y, and Z to occur, I don't know what it is you're supposed to do. It's an odd thing. And of all the people, because I'm not a big Rick Boots fan, you know, it's not like I thought he was the savior of the masses, so to speak. I figured he's going to be a mid-carder for life. But him getting fired did cast some light on this, because at least he had the cojones to speak about it and say this is what's going on behind the scenes. They're attempting to drag away any of the masculinity from professional wrestling. And I know there's a lot of people saying, oh, just because Rick Boogs got fired, he was boring. I'm not saying it's just because Rick Boogs got fired. A lot of people got fired. What I'm saying is, him bringing that to light made me think. And then I went back and I started watching older wrestling and different tapes, and I'm saying to myself, yeah, there was a gradual progression of this. The days of Stone Cold and all these, and The Rock and The Undertaker and these guys who are real macho, started to give way to the Daniel Bryans and the Big Show who cries in the ring and the sensitive people. All of a sudden, the males are all sensitive and woke and whatever, and it's the females who are dominant and strong and powerful and brave and macho. Now, if this wasn't done purposely, the females would be just like the males, right? There'd be a lot of sensitive females and a lot of sensitive interaction about friendships and partnerships and love affairs and whatever. There isn't. It's all about, I'm going to kick your ass. Show me the storylines for the females. It's all about whose ass is getting kicked. In the meantime, over in the male division, it's so-and-so don't like so-and-so, and I'm upset about so-and-so, and I'm whiny because I didn't get a title shot. I'm missing that. That's what it is now. You've reversed the roles. You've made the males the females and the females the males. That's what you've done, and you've done it on purpose. It's pretty scary, Tom, because they did it without us really even noticing.
Yeah, they slipped it right under our noses, and you know, we went along with it for all this time without noticing, and they're probably sitting back laughing about it. This is what they think we want as fans, and we don't. And you know, I think what's going to happen is that this Rick Boogs, if it hasn't already, this Rick Boogs interview or shoot interview is going to get back to the WWE. And they're going to start, I feel that they're going to start trying to reverse at least a little bit to kind of appease the people who are outspoken about it, because we're not the only ones.
Well, you know, it's already starting to begin, because LA Knight is that throwback. He's the guy that just comes out and basically tells you off on the microphone and kicks your ass. Look what we saw on Friday night. We saw what was supposed to happen last Friday night. John Cena's getting the beat down. Here comes LA Knight. Now, did he make a great, great save? No, it looked a little weak, but I'm thinking maybe he's still under the weather a little bit or whatever. But nonetheless, the crowd went nuts. Why did the crowd go nuts? Because here comes a guy out that's not Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens that's going to say, oh, we got to come out and help John, and it'll be a tough fight, but we'll all stand tall. No, LA Knight just came out and just put the smackdown on everybody. They didn't get a punch in, right? They just bumped for him. Flippity-flop, boom, he's out. John Cena does a brilliant job. I'm so glad that the fans have changed their mind. When John Cena was a full-time wrestler, all we ever heard was John Cena's overrated. John Cena's not good. I don't like John Cena. Five moves of doom, blah, 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 blah. Now he sticks his head out the door, and the crowd goes absolutely apeshit because they're beginning to realize how good he really was. And John Cena's look of, I think I got myself a partner, and then when he signs it, it sold LA Knight so much better that I was like, this is good. And what does LA Knight do? Does he go over and say, John, are you okay? And does John Cena say, give me the microphone. Thank you so much, LA Knight, for saving me. Thank you. LA Knight just kicks the guy's ass and says, there, you want a partner? You got a partner. See ya. And John Cena just says, hey, I think I got a partner, and he's a pretty badass dude. Good for me. That's all. That's all there needed to be. There didn't need to be a tender moment, a friendship. That's why it worked. That's why it worked. Maybe the WWE will wake up and see the guys like LA Knight. That's exactly right. Because I got news for you. I love Eli Drake. Don't get me wrong. So if you're an Eli Drake fan, don't be blowing me up with, oh, how dare you say anything. I think he's one of the best things in the WWE right now, and I loved him when he was Eli Drake doing the dummy button and all that stuff. I always loved him. But if he was in the Attitude Era, he'd have been middle of the pack. Charisma level, middle of the pack. Wrestling ability, middle of the pack. Appearance, middle of the pack. The fact that he's top of the pack shows you how weak they've made the roster. Not in talent. The roster's fantastic in talent, but the weakness of the characters. He only has to be a little bit macho to be the macho guy there. He doesn't even have to be way macho, right? He just has to have a little bit of masculinity to be the man. Back then, He'd be considered middle masculine. You know what I mean? He didn't have the masculinity of a Stone Cold or The Rock or Triple H or The Undertaker or Kevin Nash or Scott Hall, right? He didn't have that. He just has a little of it. And a little of it now is 10 times more than anybody else has, Mike.
Absolutely. And think about this. Let's go back to the Big Show for a minute, all right? And everybody on this show remembers that so-called end gimmick, that contract he signed that said that allowed him to do anything that he wanted to every according to the so-called contract, anything he wanted to anyone he wanted without fear of being fired, right? And what was happening at that point? That was at that point at which the freaking authority was running wild and getting no comeuppance and and showing no ass, right? And we all said at that point that what should have happened is they should have flipped the Big Show, and he should have been on a tear against the punching everybody out. Maybe not Stephanie, but all the male ones. You still had J&J Security and Seth Rollins and what's his face as well, and Triple H as well. This was before Triple H's heart problems, so he could have taken a few punches. I mean, that would have added some length to his WWE career, and it would have given us a guy. Okay, he may win, he may lose, but somebody's going to get fucked up.
Yeah, that's gone from wrestling now. Now, there's going to be some people, I guess, who say good riddance to it, but I don't think that way. At the end of the day, your heroes, no matter whether it be in movies, television shows, comic books, wrestling, sport, whatever it happens to be, your heroes mirror society. But one thing should always be the case with these type of heroes is that they should show some bravery or some whatever. And unfortunately, we are now in this position where, look, you could say all you want. Well, Elias didn't have a lot of wrestling skill. No, you're right. He didn't. But you know what? They took away everything that made Elias connect with fans. And you know why they took it away? Well, if he makes up songs about people and they're unpleasant and they're insulting, that's not politically correct. That's bullying. We can't really have him bullying people, can we? Well, what are you talking about? You got people who are gang jumping people on a weekly basis. Oh, it's 3-on-1 and we got chairs. That's okay. But if Elias wants to sing a song that's politically incorrect about an opponent, well, we better not do that. I mean, after all, that could be considered bullying. So we'll take away that from Elias. Okay, well, that's what made him popular. So you took it away. So now he's not popular. You're right. Because you thought it would be politically incorrect to do so. There's no other reason you'd take it away. Name me the reason you would take that away from him. Every time he came out there with the guitar, people went nutso, right? Take it away from him. Take it away from him. Bobby Lashley. You can't get much more macho than that. If I had to think of the one person in the WWE other than Brock Lesnar you'd probably not really want to get in a fight with, that would probably be Bobby Lashley. Get away from him. Let's take away the macho thing from him. Keep him in a suit where you can't see how powerful he is. And have him talk like a college professor instead of a raving lunatic that was going to rip your head off. And that'll take away his masculinity. Fire Shelton Benjamin. Just fire him. Because he's too macho. We'll keep Ricochet because he's not that macho. See how that works? See how that works? Now, welcome aboard to everybody who just hit the chat room. Thanks for coming in. Listen, folks, wrestling, whether you like it or not, whether it's politically correct or not, whether it's socially acceptable or not, wrestling isn't supposed to follow those rules or it's not fun. You don't go see a movie where the bad guys really aren't that bad. Oh, well, somebody actually broke the speed limit by 10 miles an hour, and this detective's going after them, going to kick their ass. Well, no one wants to see that. Right? The bad guys are always doing horrible things. They're killing women and children. They're blowing up buildings. They're doing whatever, and you can't wait for the good guys to get a hold of them. Well, I got news. The bad guys in wrestling don't do anything anymore. What do? You can't even have a heel because you can't be a heel. How's Bobby Lashley a heel? And by the way, the gimmick doesn't even make any sense. Let me see Killer Instinct. Is Killer Instinct gang jumping somebody? That does not make any sense. It makes no sense. Now, if you were going to tell me, Marcus, here's what was going to happen. Bobby Lashley's going to try to turn the Street Profits bad. The Street Profits, because they're frustrated with their career, is going to try to do this. And every single time, they're going to fail. Every single time they're going to fail. And finally, Bobby Lashley is really going to read them the riot act and say, you guys are pathetic. Thought you were something great. You're nothing. You deserve to be exactly where you are, the bottom of the card. You're never going to achieve anything because you guys are soft, weak sissies who won't do what needs to be done to win. You have no killer instinct. And as far as I'm concerned, you're not worth my time anymore. And then go get Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander back. And then the Street Profits say, you know why we weren't able to do this? Because you're right. You've got it confused. You've got Killer Instinct confused with being a cheater, being a coward, gang jumping people, taking shortcuts. And that's not what we were about. When we tried to do that, we failed. You're right. But guess what? We're not doing that anymore. And if you think we're that weak, you think we're that pathetic, put your team up against us then. Let's go. Then you got a great feud. No, instead, let's fire Shelton Benjamin and turn the Street Profits into gang jumping sissies. Makes no sense, Mike.
It makes no sense either. And here's something else that doesn't make sense. If you handle him right, Omos could be one of those guys that drips it. If you handle him right. But
yeah,
again,
where's he?
Because they're not handling him right. And he's basically disappeared. And so, by the way, so has MVP. But he's basically disappeared, you know. And that's the thing. When you have guys that have the ability to drip it, you got to handle them right. And you got to do it, you know. And that's the thing. They just don't do it. They just don't want to do it.
That's the thing. They don't want to do it because they feel that this particular time in our history, the majority of fans don't want that. But we do because we want that escapism. Okay? Well, you turn to professional wrestling not to see a real fight because it's not a real fight. You're not going there to see two people compete because it's not a competition. You're going there to escape from your own reality. Why do you think Stone Cold Steve Austin was so popular, especially when he fought Vince McMahon? Because everybody wanted to punch their boss in the face. But nobody could do it because they'd lose their job. So what happens? Steve Austin punches his boss in the face, and Vince McMahon says, you're fired. You lost your job. And Steve Austin says, I'm still showing up and being a thorn in your side. And everybody's like, yeah, man, that's what I want to do. You could live vicariously through these people. I don't live vicariously through Sami Zayn because these wouldn't be my reactions. I wouldn't be sitting there letting some guy dress me down every day and yell at me, okay, I'm sorry, I did whatever. Well, what man do you know would do that? Would you do that? See, think about that. Let's say you were Sami Zayn. I know it's the storyline, but the storyline should make sense. If Sami Zayn did his best to do something and Roman Reigns says, you're an idiot. How dare you even do this? I didn't tell you to. You can tell me, you know what? You go fuck yourself. How about that? I'm a professional wrestler. I'm not a sissy. Who do you think you are talking to me like that, right? No, they all have to be, I'm sorry. Everybody has to be so ultra sensitive and demasculated all the time. It's okay to have one or two of those characters. It's not okay when it's a whole federation of them, Todd.
You're absolutely right there. Like you said, with guys like Stone Cold Steve Austin and that anti-hero. He was the anti-hero at the time. Now we don't have one anymore.
Not really. I mean, we have some people you might consider somewhat of an anti-hero, but not to that level. Not to that level. WWE's missing the boat here. Maybe LA Knight showed them the error of their ways. We'll see. We'll see if now they start to say, you know what? Maybe fans really are looking for this ass-kicker, macho-type guy. Can't be Brock because he won't show up every week. And LA Knight's one, but we got to have more than one. And maybe they can come up with one. You've got a bunch of people on your roster. It's not like Drew McIntyre couldn't be that guy. It's not like Karrion Kross couldn't be that guy. Not like, several other people on that roster can't be that guy. They certainly can. But you got to let them be it. Take it away from them. As far as writers, they always say, well, the reason we let Rick Boogs go, the reason we had to let Elias go is we didn't have anything for them. Oh, you didn't have anything for them, huh? Well, let me have 2 seconds of your time. Both of them are musicians. Both of them have a rock gimmick. Put them together as a tag team so they can play the guitar together and make up some songs about people and aggravate some people. And you've got a great tag team for the tag team division. How about that? No, instead I'll put them with Shinsuke friggin' Nakamura. They had about as much in common Ted Nugent and Taylor Swift. Why don't you put them together? It makes no sense. No sense. So you didn't have anything for him because your tag team division is so stacked, you couldn't have a rock and roll tag team like that. Do you know what you could have done with that? Boots is a legitimate guitar player, so is Elias. Let him play a little guitar together. I don't know if Boots sings, but Elias sang a little bit. Let him come up with some songs. You could have put a single out on Spotify. You could have sold band tour T-shirt type stuff. There was a million marketing tools you could have used. And for the writers to sit there and say, well, we couldn't think of anything, that's not true. If you're a qualified writer, you thought of that 9 Ways to Sunday, and you pitched that, and they said no. And the reason they said no is because it would be too macho. That's two really big guys. And they're kind of bullying people by singing songs that are rude about them. And, oh, no, I think that probably wouldn't go over. Well, then that's what you get. That's exactly what you get. Meanwhile, it's perfectly okay for Nia Jax to say she's the baddest human being on the planet, Ronda Rousey to say she's the baddest woman on the planet, Shayna Baszler to say she's the toughest woman on the planet, Asuka to say there's nobody ready for Asuka, Bianca Belair to say she's the EST in everything in WWE, Charlotte Flair to say she's the queen of professional wrestling, and Becky Lynch to say she's the man. Think about it. Absolutely not done by accident, Mike.
That is not done by accident. And think about this. At one point, it was also okay for I'm the princess of Staten Island, you know, so think about that. That's another one, you know, and we know what that's about. Yeah.
At least that's feminine. Yeah, at least that's feminine. I'm talking about sheer machismo. Nobody's ready for Asuka. Nobody's stronger than Raquel Rodriguez. I'm the baddest human being on the planet. I'm the baddest woman on the planet. I'm the EST. I'm the man. I'm the ass kicker. I'm the queen. These are all macho gimmicks. Okay, you got Chelsea Green, who's feminine, and you had Carmella, who was feminine. Aside from that, it's all masculine gimmicks. Meanwhile, we have all the men wearing their hair in man buns and saying how sensitive they are and giving long speeches about friendships and their goals. And come on, man. Where's the guy who's just going to come out and kick your ass? Well, that's Brock Lesnar, but he's not around, you know. Remember when Brock Lesnar wasn't really even the most macho guy? Brock Lesnar was up against The Undertaker and Triple H and Kurt Angle and all these people, and you're like, well, these are macho guys. He's not going to walk through these guys. Now he has to sell to guys who you're like, this is ridiculous. That's why he won't take the matches. That's why Brock Lesnar's literally like, I'm not fighting this person. Because if I had to do that, then I have to sell this ridiculousness, and it just looks ridiculous. I'm not going to almost lose to Sami Zayn. Now, he did take Cody Rhodes, but I'm sure he took Cody Rhodes out of respect for the Rhodes family. And Cody, being as middle-of-the-road masculine, whatever as his gimmick is like one of the most masculine. He's like at the top of your masculinity chart in WWE currently. Mike, you'd have been at the dead bottom in the Attitude Era.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, look, if you go back just a few years and you had the Big Show and you had Kane and you had Mark Henry and you had all these guys, you know, Even in his sexual chocolate gimmick that they did, which was kind of a comedy gimmick, Mark Henry did come off as the alpha male, right? Even in that gimmick. So, yes, you've got And look, it's not like they don't have that. It's not like they don't have those guys that can carry that off, or they didn't have those guys that they can carry it off. Machismo that I'm gonna kick your ass and there ain't nothing you can do about it. I mean, they still have Braun Strowman on the roster. They were gonna bring back. They did bring back at least for that one time. Eric Redbeard, right? So,
right.
They were going to bring back Bray Wyatt before he passed,
See, that's the thing. Wrestling is so psychological. Let's just talk about the Wyatt family for a minute. Bray might not have been, like, the most masculine. He wasn't like, I'm stronger and faster, and he didn't do that. But what Bray did do was say, psychologically, I can psych you out. And even if I cannot do that, the guys I have with me can kick your ass. It was sort of the same way with Shawn Michaels. Yeah, I think I'm tough and macho. I know I'm not that big, but I got Diesel here, and he can kick your ass. There was a lot of this macho stuff going around. So when these guys collided, you're like, wow, this is like King Kong versus Godzilla, right? I don't know what the hell's going to happen. Now you're literally ending up with, two guys in man buns fighting, and it's not the same thing. It's just not the same thing. I don't want to go back to a steroid era. I'm not saying anything to do with pump yourself up to be 300 pounds of solid muscle. That's not necessary. What is necessary is that some of these guys come off with a male attitude. Like I said, think about it logically. Is anything that happened to Sami Zayn, would you put up with that nonsense? Or would you say, fuck you? Take your shit and shove it in your ass, right? So we can't identify with that because we're not like that. And most men aren't. And almost everything that happens in the course of the men's division in the WWE, we're like, well, we wouldn't do that because men usually don't have that reaction to these type of things. So they're changing the reaction. If I'm that mad at Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley sticks her nose in and says, I said be quiet. What man do you know that's just going to say, okay, I'm sorry I raised my voice. I'll behave. If you're that mad, you're going to be like, could you butt out? Am I talking to you? If I want your opinion, I'll ask for it. Oh, no, you can't do that. Because then that would be mansplaining or that would be being misogynistic. You have to bow before the woman. That's ludicrous. That's ludicrous. It ruins their character. You can have a couple guys like that. Like, if you want to have Dominic like that, that's perfectly fine. That's perfectly fine. But why is Dominic special in bowing down before Rhea Ripley when everybody does it? See, that's the thing. You say, oh, Dominic's a little sissy and he's being led by the nose by Rhea. Well, everybody is. So why is he different? So is Damian Priest. So is Finn Balor. So what makes Dominic special in that? You know what I'm saying, Mike? If the other two didn't allow that, then that makes Dominic's gimmick even more special because he does.
Right. And think about this. Let's go back quite a few years the Four Horsemen and what's his name? And when they brought in Baby Doll, it's a perfect 10, right? Tully Blanchard. And what they were expecting for the perfect 10 was, Daryl Hannah or whatever, that type of person, right? What they got was a near 6 foot tall, about 150, 180 pound woman that was beaten, that ended up beating up on Jim Cornette for a while.
Right.
Right?
So, and you had that in ECW, too, with Luna Vachon taking on Alfonso. But that was fine because you're like, well, Alfonso's not a tough guy. Luna Vachon's going to tear him apart. You could get that. if you wanted Rhea Ripley to, you know, beat up some guy that was like, yeah, you know, he's not really even a wrestler and, you know, whatever. Yeah, I'm all for that. China did it too. But China never beat up Razor Ramon. China never beat up Diesel. China never beat up, you know, the top names. You can't have Rhea Ripley do it either. Makes no sense. We've gone from Roddy Piper putting the boots to 105-pound Cyndi Lauper, who isn't even a wrestler, to wrestlers backing off somebody half their size who shouldn't be backing off because their gimmick is that they're a little unhinged. I could see somebody like, for instance, when AJ Styles refused to hit Rhea Ripley, I get it. AJ Styles' gimmick is supposed to be, look, I don't go that far. I don't hit women. Just not doing that. We're not going there. But come on. You had some guys there that should have been saying, look, get out of my face. You know, or Roddy Piper said it. If a woman hits me, I'm knocking her out. Right? That's what he said on national TV. Because he was a heel. Stone Cold Steve Austin let Stephanie McMahon have it, and the whole audience went nutso because she deserved it. Now you can't do it anymore because it's politically incorrect, and people would be saying, oh, boo-hoo-hoo, a man hit a woman, misogynist, WWE's misogynist. But we're not anti-male when the males are being beaten by the women. You say, well, a woman can't hit a man, but we can have intergender matches. How are we going to have intergender matches if a man can't hit a woman? You can't have it both ways. You're saying, well, we can have intergender matches where a man fights a woman like Sami Callihan and Tessa Blanchard. Okay, well, then how come Sami Callihan can't hit Tessa Blanchard outside the ring? That doesn't make any sense. So, Todd, you can't have it both ways.
No, you're absolutely right there. Like you say, you can't have that both ways. At all, like you said, with Stone Cold Steve Austin beat up, gave I think the one Monday Night Raw at one time, he gave Linda McMahon a stunner.
Yeah, well, Linda McMahon too. Yes, Stephanie McMahon. Listen, I'm not saying you do it on a regular basis. It's special when something like that happens. It's a special moment when Rhea Ripley was getting built up like. AJ Styles won't hit her. The New Day guys are not going to hit her. We get it. But you had to have that loose cannon, whoever it happened to be, that, oh, she went one step too far. That's not the guy. He's not going to be the same. And that's going to get a huge pop. Simple as that. We can't do it anymore. You're so handcuffed by our current culture that wrestling actually can't thrive. Wrestling is like in a stagnant state where it has to stay this way, and there's so many things you cannot do that the writing has become almost impossible just the way you were supposed to. You just can't. And our heroes have went from Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, The Undertaker, Triple H, Batista, to Daniel Bryan and the Young Bucks. And Sami Zayn. Think about it. I'm not saying they're not great wrestlers. There's hardly anybody in wrestling is any better than Daniel Bryan in the ring. But I'm just saying, from the standpoint of masculinity, come on. That's not the same thing. It's not even close. No knock against Daniel Bryan, obviously, Mike. But Daniel Bryan, Sami Zayn, those type of people, that's not the same as Stone Cold Steve Austin and you know, Triple H.
Right. And think about it this way. Okay, in the 1980s, all the action movies of the 1980s, up until a certain point, what were they? They were Commando. They were Rambo. You know, all these, I don't want to say roided up, muscled up guys that, okay, how's a army going to stand up against Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? Or a muscled-up you know, that guy. But in about 1988 or 89, there was a certain movie that came out where the hero of the movie was not that. The hero of this action movie was John McClane, a smaller guy that, yeah, he had things happen to him, but it could have been that guy could be you, well, could have been me, or could have been any smaller guy, you know, that way. But it was still...
Yeah, but he still had the masculinity. He still was fighting for his family and his ex-wife and the whole thing. He still was exhibiting that masculine attitude of, I'll take matters into my own hands. He didn't say, oh, dear, what am I going to do? And they didn't say, I know what you do. Call this particular person, and it happens to be a woman, and she'll go up there and save the day. That's what's happening now. I don't care if you want to make Daniel Bryan a masculine character. Make him a masculine character. It's not his body or his wrestling style or his looks that stop him from being masculine. It's the attitude you choose to give his character. Same thing with Sami Zayn. Hell, you could turn Kevin Owens very masculine. I thought they were gonna. Remember when they did that thing where he was going to be like the everyman? He was bowling with his kids, and he was in the movies, and he's like this, that, and the other thing. I may not go to the gym, and I may not do whatever, but I know how to fight, and I'll kick your ass, right? That's, remember when they were going to do that with him? And then they decided instead to emasculate him in front of Shane McMahon. So it's not about body style or anything else. It's just about the character. Why can't you make the character masculine? John McClane in Die Hard was a very masculine character. He wasn't big, but he was masculine. What I'm saying is the masculinity is gone, not the size or the muscularity, the masculinity itself, the idea that this is how a male would react. I'm sorry, but if I'm the Big Show and I'm being berated by Stephanie McMahon, I'm not going to cry. If I'm Sami Zayn and I'm being undermined every single day by Roman Reigns, I'm going to tell him to go fuck himself. These are the things that make the characters no longer masculine. You think Stone Cold Steve Austin would have done that? Right? You think The Rock would have done that? You think Triple H would have done that? None of them guys. You knew what they were going to do. They were going to be like, well... You know, Vince McMahon pulled this on Stone Cold this week. Look out next week. It's going to be hell for Vince McMahon. He's not going to put up with this. No, week after week, these characters put up with abuse because they don't dare be masculine, Mike, because they're told their characters aren't that.
Absolutely. And that's the thing. Think about another character. What happened with Jack Swagger? Jack Swagger, that character was a very masculine character, right? And then all of a sudden, because they were doing this whole Real Americans gimmick and stuff, that, oh, we have to, they were getting over with it, but because Glenn Beck got marked out, and I don't want to use the term, but I've got to with Glenn Beck, because that's what happened, he got marked out with it, right? They had to break character and say, well, this, we got to say, I'm sorry, we didn't mean to do this. You know, that type, it ruined that whole thing. If they would have just
right.
stayed in character. Yeah.
See, and even with a guy like Austin Theory, okay? You got Austin Theory, he's a pretty muscular guy. He's not huge, but he's a pretty muscular guy. Why does he have to come out and be a sissy? Oh, because if he comes out and tries to be tough, that would be toxic masculinity. So if he has a really good physique, he has to be a wimp. That's just crazy. And if you don't have a good physique, like Sami Zayn, then you don't have to be a wimp. I don't understand. I don't understand where we're going with this. This is why we're not seeing. Yes, I know Amos isn't a good wrestler, but you know what? He had that masculine, I'm coming out and kick your ass, and now they won't show him. They fired two or three guys who had it because they don't have nothing for him. They're thinking about letting Drew McIntyre go because he might be a little bit too masculine. At what point are we going to say, the whole federation's being taken over by J.D. McDonough's instead of Sheamus's and Stone Cold's and those type of guys. Well, how come we can't have those guys? Even if you don't have a whole roster of them, you mean to tell me they don't exist? See, what you're trying to do is say, that's an era gone. Men are no longer like that. Men are now much more effeminate. Men are more in touch with their feelings. These are the real men now, not these guys. You're trying to water down masculinity. And it's working, because if you just go to any of the colleges, this is what you see now. And women, little by little, are being trained that you don't want a man who's masculine like that. You want a man who basically kowtows to everything you say. And, you know, he follows you around like the puppy dog and says, okay, okay, honey. You know, you don't want a guy who wants – it's almost reverse. Before, it was the women who were supposed to walk a step behind your man, which is wrong. But now you don't correct a wrong by making another wrong and saying, okay, well, now it's the man. And that's, no, no, no. That's not the way it works, folks. I hope we're going to get a little bit back, Mike. Do you think this L.A. Knight thing could push them into possibly thinking that maybe they've made a mistake?
I think so, too. And that's the thing. And think about this. Let's look at what's going on in politics right now. You go to a Democratic rally, and you basically have nobody, including women. You go to a Trump rally, and half of the people are women. Why? Because Trump's got that masculine. He's very masculine. Women like
yeah.
that, right?
Well, you know what? Maybe the times are changing. People are done with this. But I know this. I don't mind some of the characters. I don't mind a Sami Zayn. But for every Sami Zayn you have, for every Daniel Bryan you have, you also have to have a tough guy. You know what I mean? For every woman that's a Shayna Baszler or a Ronda Rousey, you also have to have an effeminate woman who espouses womanly traits. Otherwise, you're just going to the other extreme, and that doesn't work. Anyway, folks, thanks for listening. We'll be back here on Tuesday with the Monday Night Raw Report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
WrestleChat Radio is a Savage Blade production.